Hello and welcome to Jaw Law. I'm your host, Joe McGregor from Dallas, Texas, and today we are talking about signatures. Today we're specifically going to talk about signatures on documents that are important. So things that are going to come back to haunt you, legally binding contracts. And what I've done is I've collected the most common questions that I get about executing or signing contracts. And I want to first state that these are all fair questions. A lot of times people are kind of nervous to ask us some of these questions, but they're perfectly fine. You have no context for most of these. These are things where whenever we've signed stuff in our past, they've looked pretty different. And so these questions are fair. There's nothing to be ashamed of. Question number one, I think we get this most commonly, and that is, does this need to be notarized? The concept of notary is to have some independent third party who is commissioned by your state to be able to confirm that you are who you say you are. So the notary doesn't actually do anything to the contract. All it's really saying is, on this day, this person claimed they were Joe McGregor, and Joe McGregor confirmed to me by showing me proper ID that he was indeed Joe McGregor, and this Joe McGregor signed the contract, so that later I can't make the claim that I'm not the person who signed the contract. Someone else forged my signature. So that's the only reason you need a notary. Now, sometimes when the stakes are pretty high, you do have a notary in case that might be the argument. But for the most part, the reason people use it is in the instance that there might be a chance that someone would claim someone else signed for them. For the most part, though, we just don't really worry about it. For instance, you sign an employment agreement. We presume that if you signed it, you're going to show up. And if you didn't sign it, you won't show up. So the stakes aren't really high enough to make that claim. And we just honestly don't see that kind of fraud. Whereas in real estate, those kinds of things are done. So at least formerly, they used to be some shenanigans pulled. So we wanted to have a notary confirm that the right person was moving certain property out of the estate so that somebody didn't get their inheritance. Anyway, point is, notaries can be used. There's nothing that says you cannot use a notary. But in terms of, do I need a notary? For most things, there's not a law compelling it unless it is a requirement for that entity. So your county will not record a deed unless there's an accompanying notary or whatever it is, or your bank won't do it because there's not a notary. So it is a requirement imposed by certain people and by certain entities, but there's not a list of like, okay, this has to be notarized. And that is how you can determine whether or not you need a notary for your contract. Second question, do I need to sign or initial each page? Well, back in the good old days when we had to make copies of contracts, or we didn't even make copies, we just had the original contract, signing or initialing each page was useful because people couldn't slip page. Slip page means you got a 10-page document and you stick in an 11th page. Or, and a little bit more commonly, what it means, you got a 10-page document, and on page 7, you take that out and put in a new page 7 that now changes the contract. Maybe one word is different, one sentence is different. And so slip paging was a way to essentially commit fraud. So people would initial the original contract that they signed so that it couldn't be slip paged, or it would be harder to be slip page. You had to commit forgery in order to do that. If you are worried about somebody doing that to you, then yes, sign or initial each page. You'll still see some contracts that will ask you to do that. I will tell you that we rarely have people do that, but it doesn't mean that it's a bad idea. it's actually a good and safe idea. It's just not that common. It takes a lot of effort. And in the days of digital production, like DocuSign, stuff like that, it's really hard to slip page. Now, I will say this. I actually have some experience with this idea. And in the other context that this comes up is one time a contract that we drafted became the subject of a lawsuit. And basically, somebody said that they hadn't seen a certain portion of a contract. So sometimes contracts have several components to it. And this person, the other person, the other party made the claim. And this isn't what the lawsuit was about. It was about something else. But this contract came up and this person said, "Nah, I never signed that." We were able to show that his signature was at the bottom of each and every single page. So he looked really, really bad making that argument. And again, it's not something we customarily do, but we did in that instance, for whatever reason, divine legal intervention, I don't know. And the truth is that the whole deal had a very low trust level anyway to begin with. But anyway, he made that argument in court in front of a judge, and it was one of those glorious legal situations that just never happens where somebody on the stand is proven wrong, and I'm sure his attorney was quite embarrassed. But there you go. Do you need to sign each page? No, you do not, but it's not bad. You're not wrong if you do it, and in some rare instances, you're going to be glad you did. Number three, do I need witnesses? Now, this is a little tricky because in certain states, there are certain contracts, like perhaps a will, that does require witnesses. So answer number one, if the law requires it to have witnesses, then yes, obviously you need a witness or witnesses. The issue is that it's actually pretty rare. Most states don't require witnesses, and neither do you. When we decide that we need witnesses, it is usually, again, kind of like the notary, where we want to affirm that somebody was who they say they were, and we watched them sign. One of the places that we do appreciate witnesses is maybe in a smaller agreements, settlements, things like that, particularly in the workplace. So you're going to have your employee sign something. We might prefer to have two or three employees witness that so that that employee can't say, "Hey, they were strong-arming me at the time," or "I never signed that," or whatever. You have witnesses there that can affirm and attest that, no, he signed it or she signed it, and there was no shenanigans going on. And that would be the value of having a witness. But otherwise, especially in this day and age of DocuSign and all that stuff, it's not something we're as concerned as maybe we used to be. All right. Question number four. I still get this question, although to be fair, over the last few years, I get this a little bit less. But just to just make it official, do signatures that are electronic count the same as wet inked signatures? Yes, they do. There are, once in a while, again, there's always going to be some exceptions. So maybe your bank doesn't accept electronic signatures. They want blue ink, wet ink signatures. That's not anything to do with the law. That's just their policy. And you will see that from time to time, but electronics in most courts have been pretty clear and consistent. In most instances, electronic signature just the same as a wet ink signature. So no concern there. Now, the last question takes a little bit of an explanation. So it's not really a question, I guess. But if I asked a question, what are counterparts? Okay, let's just say I'm in Texas and I want a job with somebody who is in Kansas. And for whatever reason, we want to do this contract the old school way where it is wet signature. So we don't want to DocuSign this. So how do I get me in Texas and my employer in Kansas to sign the same contract? Well, you could have me sign it and then I ship it off to Kansas for my employer. He signs it and that's how we do it. we now have a signed contract, or vice versa. He can send it to me. But just as legally effective, I can sign one copy of it. He can sign another copy, and we can blend the two together. So you might have that 10-page contract, except now it's 11. Page 10 was formerly the signature page, and that's going to have my signature on it. Then there's a duplicate page 10, now labeled page 11, with his signature. So two signature pages, one with mine, one with his, and now together they form the contract. In other words, it's not necessary that both parties sign both signature pages or both contracts. At some point in time, you have to put them together in order to make this effective, but you don't have to sign the same page. Now, the better practice here is actually signing both pages. So if you have two signature pages, you'd sign them both, and the other person would sign them both. So now you both have wet signature pages with both signatures on them. And we don't have this question in the future, oh, did the other person sign? Well, yeah, you both have wet signature pages. But it doesn't change the fact that it is possible for you to sign one, the other party to sign the other, and you put them together for an effective, legally binding contract. The only caveat here is that typically what we like to see is language in the contract that says this contract may be executed in counterparts, which counterparts is the fancy way of saying you sign one paper, I sign another, we glue them together, and it's the same contract. That's signing in counterparts, totally effective, totally legal, used all the time. So nothing to worry there. And that's it. I guess I wanted to just answer all of these questions in one spot. I think sometimes the level of fear and concern that we have over signatures may be a little unwarranted. But at the same time, I want to also say that going the extra mile for security is not bad. Going the extra mile by putting a signature line at the bottom of each page, or like an initial line at the bottom of each page, like your contract's never going to get thrown out because it has everyone's initials at the bottom. It might get questioned if it doesn't. And so I think that a lot of these things that we've talked about today, so having a notary or having witnesses, those aren't necessary. And even in our contracts, we don't really go to those lengths very often. But you're not going to get in trouble because you do. So when in doubt, if you have any fears whatsoever, or you just want to, you'd feel better, you'd sleep better at night, it's okay to put these things in. Signature pages, initial lines at the bottom, having it notarized, having witnesses. Some people might think you're going a little too far, but that's okay. Again, most of the times these things are not necessary, and we don't really see problems with it. But if you do it, you're fine. No worries. And I hope that answers everyone's questions about signatures. And that's all we have today. I will say, one of our favorite things to do is to answer your questions. If you have a question that you would like us to answer, or you have a topic that you would like us to cover, even if we've covered it before and you just kind of want to hear it again or in a new light, then please reach out. I'm going to give you my law firm email address, and that's jmcgregor@mcgregorfirm.com. Please feel free to reach out, and we would love to answer any questions or talk about anything that you want us to. Thank you so much, and we will see you next time.